From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this Tuesday, January 12th, 2016, hopefully the week is treating you all well thus far. We've got a hot show in store for all of you guys out there. Of course, we will recap the madness that took place out in Arizona last night. The Alabama Crimson Tide and the Clemson Tigers going at it. Just one of the best national championship college football games I've ever seen in my life. Unbelievable stuff. We will recap the action from last night and talk about Nick Saban winning his fourth national championship in 7 years. Crazy stuff, right? We'll recap all of that action from last night. We'll also give you guys an outlook for the 2016-17 MSU football team, as ESPN has actually put out its way too early rankings. They do this after every national championship game, after the college football season is said and done and in the books. Also, Bob Quinn held his press conference, his introduction as the Detroit Lions' new general manager. We'll chat about that. And also, we will have a brief chat on the MSU men's basketball team. And what do you think about Denzel Valentine and Deontay Davis getting some buzz as NBA first-round picks? Yeah, all of that and so much more. Call in to be a part of the show, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. It was a national championship game for the ages as Alabama and Clemson put on a show that won't be forgotten for quite some time. The Crimson Tide topped Clemson back and forth. A thriller, folks. 45-40 the final. Alabama won its fourth college football national title in 7 seasons. It is the 14th NCAA national title for the Crimson Tide, which finished the season 14-1. The title is the 5th for Alabama head coach Nick Saban, who also won one at Louisiana State. We'll have more discussion on the big game in just a minute here on Current Sports. Don't touch that dial. The MSU men's basketball team, they took a leap in the latest AP College Basketball Top 25 poll. Kansas and Oklahoma, who played one of the season's best games last week, remain 1-2, while Maryland and MSU sit at number 3 and 4, respectively. MSU jumps one spot after being ranked number 5 last week. The Spartans play host to Iowa this Thursday night at 7 p.m. The MSU women's basketball team sits at 12-3. They moved up 5 spots to number 18 in the AP women's poll. The University of Michigan men's basketball team will host number 3 Maryland at Chrysler Center in the second half of an ESPN Super Tuesday matchup. The game will mark the first time the Wolverines and Terrapins will meet at Chrysler as conference foes, I should say. Now, ESPN will broadcast the game with a 9 p.m. tip-off. Michigan basketball star Caris LeVert may miss his third consecutive game against Maryland. John Beilein is, quote, not optimistic about his return. From Little League to summer ball, college to the majors, who are your baseball heroes? The Michigan Baseball Hall of Fame is seeking worthy players, coaches, contributors, and teams to fill out the 2016 Hall of Fame ballot. Send in your nominees right now. Well, after you listen to Current Sports, all right? Just go to MichiganBaseballHall.org. Again, MichiganBaseballHall.org. Nominees may range from all levels of baseball and may include both native Michiganders as well as those individuals from elsewhere who came to Michigan and contributed positively and significantly when it comes to the game of baseball. The deadline for their nominations will be Friday, March 4th. Charlotte High School's varsity basketball coach Steve Ernst has resigned amid controversy over technical fouls he's received on the court. Now, Ernst, who graduated from Charlotte in 1986 and was hired as the team's head coach in October of 2014, he quit yesterday. The news comes less than 1 week after Ernst received his sixth technical foul in 30 games on January 5th during a game against Eden Rapids. Bob Quinn and Jim Caldwell, they met for the first time yesterday, but their exchange was a little more than a quick hello. Quote, it lasted maybe 30 seconds, Quinn said, and it ended without resolution to the biggest question facing the new Detroit Lions general manager. Will Jim Caldwell return for a third year as the Lions coach? Bob Quinn was introduced to the media yesterday during a press conference. We'll have more on that discussion later on. The LA Kings ended the Detroit Red Wings' four-game win streak last night in Hollywood. Kopitar had a goal and three assists, and Alec Marentes scored a power play goal a minute and 28 into the third period to help the LA Kings to a 4-2 win against the Detroit Red Wings at the Staples Center. The Red Wings sit at 22-14-7. They lost for the first time on their six-game road trip. That concludes Thursday at the Arizona Coyotes. And last but not least, the Detroit Pistons look to extend their win streak to four games when they host the San Antonio Spurs tonight for a 7:30 p.m. tip time. The D is sitting in a sixth-place tie with Indiana in the Eastern Conference, just two games behind second-place Chicago and Toronto. The veteran Spurs are 32-6. They have won 14 of their last 15. They carried a seven-game winning streak into their game at Brooklyn on Monday night. Their last loss came on Christmas against the Houston Rockets. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and be a part of the show, just dial 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527, or you can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Without further ado, let's start the show.
They fake it to Henry Coker, loops it down. Smashes straight ahead and scores. Tigers go strength on strength and take the lead. They bring pressure up the middle. Coker leans back, looks downfield for Stewart. He's got it. Origin to Stewart. Keep playing now. An onside kick. Griffith, and it's caught. And Alabama's got the ball back. Marlon Humphrey, the corner, and a perfectly executed little pooch kick. Coker looks downfield again, wide open, is Howard for his second long touchdown tonight, and the Tide reclaim the lead. Drake makes a cut, gets the corner, look out, Kenyon Drake can fly, eludes the kicker, and will not be caught. Touchdown Drake! 95 yards! Watson, a dunk, Scott scores! You flip it to Howard, and the big man gets the edge and gets rumbled again. O.J. Howard, tight roping, and shut out inside the 20. Bootleg, Coker cuts it back, dives, first and goal.
Cannot stop the clock.
What a great effort by Dodd, those guys. Now they caught a touchdown. So a very delayed signal.
After review, the ruling on the field of touchdown is confirmed.
Alabama back on top of the college football world.
Could we get a smile? How about now?
You got it, baby. You got it.
Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Boy, oh boy, what a game last night. I'm sure many of you guys out there who are fans of just sports, you don't even have to be a fan of college football to enjoy what took place last night in Arizona. Clemson and Alabama went at it. It was like an old school boxing match. Back and forth, round by round, punch, counter punch. Unbelievable stuff. One of the best national championship college football games any of us have ever witnessed. One of the best college football games, period, that any of us have ever seen. And for me, you know, there's two games that stand out in my mind. You know, looking at my time here on planet Earth, I'm 25. And, you know, other than last night's game, the game that I always reference was, which you can make an argument. Yeah, this probably does trump last night's game just a little bit just because of how it went. I mean, just so much drama. But, of course, the Texas and USC game, you guys remember that, January 4th of 2006, Vince Young, we all know the run to the end zone, a 41-38 win over USC, Texas beating USC. Crazy game. Such an entertaining game. But last night came very close, folks. Oh, my goodness. Hats off to Alabama. Hats off to Nick Saban. I'm curious to take your guys' calls on today's show. Again, folks, the phone lines are open. 517-355-9527, because I'm curious about two things. First off, I want to get your thoughts on last night's game, and I want to know from our listeners out there, and especially our seasoned listeners who have been watching college sports longer than I have, I want to know where this game ranks in your noggin when it comes to all-time great national championship college football games. Where does this rank on your scale? Does it crack your top five? Is it numero uno? I want to know. And number two, I want to hear from all of the Michigan State Spartan fans out there. When it comes to the perception of Alabama winning another national title and having to do so, starting, and of course, in the Clouds football playoff, topping Michigan State in the Cotton Bowl 38-0. Do you feel any consolation in knowing that Michigan State, they lost to the champs? You know, if you're going to lose, there's that old cliche. If you're going to go down, why not go down to the best? And right now, Alabama is the top dog in the sport of college gridiron. That's just how it is. So is there any consolation in knowing that? Does it make the 38-0 loss feel a bit better? You know, does it temper it a bit? I'm curious. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But Nick Saban, man, is he good or what? I mean, the proof is in the pudding. Nick Saban is the best college football coach out there. You can make an argument that he's the best college football coach ever to do it. He wins his fourth national championship in 7 years. His fifth national championship overall. You can't argue with that, folks. Nick Saban, he wins. He wins. And you know, I always go back, you know, when especially as the year went on for the Alabama Crimson Tide, I always go back to that moment where I forget who Alabama played. But they were playing a lollipop team, quote unquote, and you know, just an easy opponent to end the year. And you know, the week of that matchup, and I believe Isaac, you probably have that bite ready to play. But Alabama, you know, Nick Saban, he goes to the podium, and he talks about how this matchup is not a lollipop team. I don't know what you're talking about. And he approaches the podium, and looking at it, I believe it was Charleston Southern. That's the team they were playing. It was a week of that game after, you know, coming off a 31-6 win over Mississippi State. They had beaten LSU the week before that. You know, only etch on their record that they had goes back to September 19th where they took on Ole Miss. And just to show you the mindset of the greats, the mindset of a Nick Saban, playing down how no matchup on any given Saturday is a lollipop game. And I believe he had this to say, Isaac.
And it's not going to be for you. The fans, yes. Because if it was up to you, we're 6 foot under already. We're dead and buried and gone. Gone. So if that was the case, I mean, we'd have to get some respirators out or something down there, right, to put life back in people.
I absolutely love that movie. It was like a movie watching him up there, right? I love that moment, because, you know, it just shows you the mindset of the greats, of the legendary personalities in sports. They do not believe that whoever they're playing, I mean, it could be, yeah, it was the Charleston Southern team, a team that was unranked, the team that Alabama was expected to roll over. But if you thought that Nick Saban, you know, if you think that he's taking this matchup lightly, you got another thing coming. That's just how Nick Saban thinks. That's how the greats think. They get up for games. They find motivation no matter who they're playing. So hats off to Nick. I mean, really a remarkable career. And again, who knows how long Nick Saban is going to coach, but his resume is already up there amongst the best to ever do it on the sideline. But what a game it was. You know, Derrick Henry becomes the second tied player after Mark Ingram Jr. to win the Heisman and now also winning a national championship in the same year. How impressive was his effort last night? 158 yards, 3 touchdowns. He broke Sean Alexander's record of 3,565 yards for a career. Remarkable stuff. Absolutely remarkable stuff. How about O.J. Howard last night? How big was he? He seemed to find holes at crucial moments. At crucial moments in that Clemson secondary. 5 receptions, 208 yards, 2 touchdowns. How about Kenyon Drake? The 95-yard kickoff return to the house to put Alabama up 38-27 with 7 minutes and 31 seconds left in the ball game. Absolutely unbelievable. You know, unbelievable is a cliche, a word that's used a lot in sports, but it was really unbelievable when looking at how Alabama dealt with and how they handled adversity throughout that game. You know, they come back, and a stat that you've heard multiple times, I'm sure, this morning and even last night, because Fowler and Herb Street brought it up, all, you know, left and right. Clemson had won 51 straight games when going into the fourth quarter with the lead. 51 straight. That's insane, right? And then what does Alabama do? Because Clemson entered that fourth with the lead. Alabama doesn't care about history. They write their own history. They go into with the mindset, okay, we know what we have to do. We have to make something happen here. And going back to that play where, okay, they tie the game up, and then all of a sudden Nick Saban and that coaching staff decides to go off script, to go completely off script, take a risk, and go for an onside kick. Completely catch the Clemson Tigers off guard. They recover the onside kick, and then what do you know? They score. Again, O.J. Howard, again. That was his second TD. Wow. That takes a lot of guts, folks. That separates the good from the great. Moments like that. Moments like that separate a pretty good team to the great teams because they're not afraid to take risk. Not at all, folks. Oh, man. And, you know, I also want to note, and I actually retweeted this. I was tweeting throughout all of last night's game. Chris Solari of the Lansing State Journal, who was actually a part of yesterday's show, he noted how Alabama special teams coach Bobby Williams was former MSU head coach. Yeah, Bobby Williams. Same Bobby Williams, right? So there you have that. Kind of a cool local connection, right? And then you have to give a lot of credit to Jake Coker. I mean, hearing his story about how he's battled adversity and got to this moment. Again, he began his career at Florida State. He sat out a redshirt season and backed up E.J. Manuel in his second year. As a sophomore, Coker lost the QB battle to Jameis Winston. And who could really argue with that decision? I mean, Winston went on to win the Heisman Trophy. He led the Seminoles to a national championship. And after that year, Coker, a native of Mobile, Alabama, he returned to his home state as a transfer. He said, you know what, deuces. I'm chugging up the deuces to Florida State, and I want to return home. And, of course, he was slated to be the number one guy. But then what happens? He lost in week 3 a battle to Blake Sims. Blake Sims becomes the starter. So after all of that, again, backing up Jameis Winston, again, sitting out his redshirt season, backing up E.J. Manuel, he transfers. He's the guy. No, he's not. Benched. Blake Sims comes in. I mean, that's a lot mentally to deal with for any player. He could have just given up. Coker said, you know what? You know, maybe this football thing's not for me. He didn't know. And now, facing a final college season, Coker claimed the starting job and opened all but one game, which was the Tide's loss to Mississippi. He had struggled early. Alabama coach Nick Saban thought a change of pace would work against the Rebels, and it backfired. And the Tide didn't lose again as Coker grew more comfortable in an offense that featured, of course, Heisman Trophy running back Derrick Henry, putting a lot of pressure off his shoulders as well. But Coker got better as the year went on. Unbelievable stuff, though. And how about the freshman stepping up for Alabama? Ronnie Harrison, Minkah Fitzpatrick, both freshmen. If you remember, they both broke up passes in the end zone in the third quarter that very well could have been touchdowns. It comes down to inches in a game like that, and they were huge. How about Marlon Humphrey, the redshirt freshman? He recovered that onside kick in the fourth quarter after the score was tied at 24. And the Tigers were outscored 24-16. In the fourth. Remarkable stuff. But on the flip side, you got to give a lot of credit to the Clemson Tigers. Deshaun Watson was a complete man. Deshaun Watson showed so much resiliency and didn't give up, even when there was only, what, like 12 seconds in the game, and he let his team down for another touchdown to make things very, very interesting. Deshaun Watson, most yards of total offense in the national championship game put up by Deshaun Watson. He was 30 of 47 for 405 yards, 4 touchdowns through 1 pick, and also he burned him on the ground. 20 carries for 73 yards. And he set some records last night. 4,000 pass yards and 1,000 rushing yards for the year. How good was he? For that Clemson total offense, 550 yards, most of it due to Deshaun Watson. Also, Wayne Gallman, 14 carries to 45 yards. 3 catches for 61 yards. Third downs. Alabama looked at an average of 9.4 yards to go on most third downs that they faced. Bama was 9 of 18 on third downs. And when it comes to the first down battle, get this. Clemson converted 31 first downs last night. You want to know how many Alabama had? 18. Unbelievable game. A test of will on both sides. And again, you know, that's a game I could watch over and over and over just because, I mean, these kids just didn't give up. No matter what team they played for, Crimson Tide, Auburn, or Clemson Orange. I mean, it was really remarkable. So Alabama, they won a bowl game for the first time when allowing 30 or more points. They were previously 0-for-11. That's a crazy stat, right? And in the first 12 games of its 13-game winning streak against Clemson, Alabama allowed a total of 54 points and did not allow more than 14 points in any game against Clemson. And Clemson puts up 40 last night. Remarkable stuff, folks. Again, we are taking your calls. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now. Let's chat with Ray from Indiana. Ray, welcome to the show. Do we have him, Ray?
Hello.
Oh, is that Mike? We got Mike from Saginaw on. Mike.
Hey, how you doing there, L. Martin?
Mike, how you doing, brother? Welcome to the show.
Let me get the pop culture references out of the way. You know, Sylvester Stallone won Golden Globe Sunday night.
I did. I watched the entire thing. How about that? He had a great speech as well. I figured he would. I mean, he was outstanding in Creed.
Mm-hmm. I was, and they gave the girl from Empire a Golden Globe too, which surprised me.
What name did you say, Mike?
The girl from Empire. What's her name?
Oh, Taraji P. Henson. Yeah, right.
Taraji they gave her a Golden Globe too, man, which is kind of interesting. They usually don't. She over the top sometime in that show, but she earned that. I agree.
Yeah, she definitely did.
Speaking of, and they gave Denzel Award for the most.
It was like an icon award. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of that, his movie on VH1 right now on 27. Oh, that's my cable channel up in Saginaw. I'm sorry about that.
Did that? I always appreciate Mike whenever he calls in, folks. He always enlightens us on pop culture before he gets to the nitty gritty. I love it, Mike.
Yeah, I got one more thing too.
Okay,
ask you about football. I know y'all played some music by David Bowie yesterday, man.
Yeah.
And I just thought about him, man. He was a man that set his own way in the culture, man, which I admire him for doing that. I really do.
Definitely.
You know, he wasn't a great singer, but what he did, he was a great performer. You know,
right.
Michael Jackson could sing. I mean, he could really sing, but David Bowie, he was a great performer, man. He performed, you know, even on those records. He made great records, man. You got to agree with that, man.
Yeah, I sat records. Back and listened to a few of his tracks last night before I watched the Alabama-Clemson game, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Rest in peace,
remember,
man. Yeah.
And I thought about that record, Fame and everything. That was a great record, man. You could listen to that on the radio all the time, man.
Yeah.
All right, then. I'm going to get to the game and everything. But I noticed that I was talking to your producer, Isaac, about Alabama. And, I mean, Nick Saban is recruiting kids that culturally, Tuscaloosa, Alabama is not a place where the culture is centered at. And I was just telling them back. And even Nick Saban is recruiting kids from Flint, recruiting that Ingram from Flint, Michigan, to go down there and play in the Southern, play in the SEC. And I just thought about it. I said, how many kids really right to go down there and just play for a coach like that?
Yeah, Nick, that's mm-hmm. the reason, you know, that's the proof is in the pudding. I mean, Nick Saban, you can't have the type of success that he's had in college football. Again, his fifth national championship. You can't have that type of success in the college realm without great recruiting. And Alabama is recruits very, very well. They always have under Nick Saban.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get that type of a type of talent and you add player development, when you get that talent on top of that, I mean, it's a recipe for success. It's proven.
I don't know if you've been – was you around on the college when Bobby Williams was the head coach there. But could you – you know, like they give other football coaches. I wonder why he never got another head coaching job.
Not sure. I'm not sure, Mike. But, hey, I mean, he's flourishing over at Alabama, I tell you that. I mean, those special teams is really the X factor in that game last night. I mean, you had the Kenyon Drake run – great blocking up front, and then it was just pure speed as he bounced to the left outside. And then the call to go with the onside kick, I mean, flawless execution there. I mean, those were gutsy calls. That was a gutsy call, Mike.
That was really a gutsy call. All right, I'm going to move it along. I got one more question. You know, I've been reading a lot about the Detroit Pistons basketball team and how they get a lot of looking at their team and what the job Stan Van Gundy to. Do you think they have to go through a stage where they're almost getting to the point where they can be able to compete for first round knockouts now, not just making the playoffs, but be able to advance further and further into the playoffs and be able to compete with championships? Do you think that'll take in time, a year or two or 3 years? And I'll take it off the air, and thanks for taking my call.
Mike, my man, appreciate the call. And as far as the Detroit Pistons and their mold of success and from a fan perspective, the realistic expectations placed on this team, I mean, I don't think you can expect this team to right off the bat under Stan Van Gundy this year to go to go to the finals. I mean, I think there's levels to it. There's certainly levels to it. I mean, right now, realistic success for this team would be, one, just to make the playoffs because they haven't made it in so long. So the Pistons just making the playoffs, if they just do that, the season is a success. If they fall short of that goal, it's not a success. Simple as that. And once you get in the playoffs, from there, then you can start to evaluate your progress on a year-to-year basis and evaluate your talent on a year-to-year basis. But I do think the Pistons will make the playoffs. And once that happens, it all depends on the matchup from there and which seed they get. But I think right now they are certainly on track. They are certainly streaking and very, very hot. And I think it's going to be a great game tonight against the San Antonio Spurs. Again, folks, call in 517-355-9527. Let's go back to Ray from Indiana. Ray, we got you now. How you doing?
Good, my friend. How you doing today?
Fantastic. I'm still recovering from last night's college football national championship game. Was that fun or what?
Let's get the first thing out of the way. Go Maryland. Beat the bullies tonight. And Iowa, too. They got to play at Iowa Saturday, so you guys need to pound the ball inside. Pound it, pound it, pound it. When you play Michigan, you need to do the same thing. That's how you beat them. 42-18 in the paint by Purdue. Hey, going to the game last night.
Yeah.
What a great game. That's what the kind of game you guys should have put up. You didn't put up the kind of fight I thought you would, but you know what? That quarterback for Clemson's unbelievable.
And that's what I wanted to bring up, Ray, because Deshaun Watson, what he was able to do against that Alabama defense is, one, he's not a one-dimensional quarterback. I mean, Deshaun Watson isn't just going to sit in the pocket and try to throw left and right. I mean, he was so, you know, he was so crafty in burning Alabama with his feet, as well as keeping them on their heels with his arm. It was such an unbelievable balance that Alabama didn't know what he would do on certain plays. I mean, even when the play would break down, Deshaun Watson sometimes would find an open receiver somehow, some way down the field. Or when it would break down, he would use his feet.
He can throw the ball deep. He had two touchdown passes, but two other ones that was perfectly in their hands, and they ripped the ball out on them at the last second. Their defensive backs for Alabama saved the day a couple times.
Yeah, I brought up the freshman. I mean, Ronnie Harmon and Minka Fitzpatrick, both freshmen. They had two big pass breakups in that third quarter to alleviate a Clemson touchdown.
And the onside kick, Saban, I was watching him on the sidelines. I was so happy. He was pacing the floor and slamming his headset down. He was pissed because they couldn't stop the quarterback. So what he did, he said, I've got to try this onside kick, 24-24. And he's seen a weakness they had, and he went right to it.
How gutsy was that, right? Not many coaches would have pulled that card in that critical moment. Game tie, fourth quarter. You got to give a lot of credit to Nick Saban and his coaching staff.
If that play wouldn't have worked, they could have easily got beat.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Incredible game. Incredible game, though.
He knew that was his only chance to win that game because he didn't want to give Watson the ball anymore the way he was moving the ball on him.
Right, and that's the separation. I mean, when you talk about good and great teams and that fine line between them both, I mean, great teams are willing to take that risk because they know the moment. That's called knowing the moment right there. I mean, it's a back-and-forth game. You don't want to, you know, give Clemson the ball back. They've been scoring on you all game. Why not go for an onside kick and see if you can catch them off guard? And that's exactly what happened, Ray.
Well, I'll tell you, we didn't have very many college football bowl games were any good, but that one lived up to the hype and more.
Finally, right? Out of the New Year's Six, we got one that was one for the ages. Ray, great call. Appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy.
Isaac Constance, current sports engineer. How you doing, brother?
Doing well, Al. Like you said, still a little bit of recovery to do from that last night's championship game. It was one of the best we've seen in recent times, and I don't know about you, but I did not think it would be A, that high scoring, or B, that close, that down to the wire. I called Alabama by 14. I thought it was going to be a 31-17 game in favor of the Crimson Tide, and both teams exceeded my expectations greatly. I thought Clemson, more than anything, you know, they showed that the ACC, it is for real, because I thought that whole game, well, maybe we were overlooking Deshaun Watson a little bit in that Heisman conversation, because he was the number three, but he was a far number three from Derrick Henry and Christian McCaffrey for Stanford. So I thought Deshaun Watson was just unbelievable yesterday. You saw the value of having a mobile quarterback, a playmaking quarterback, because Alabama several times brought the heat or even the four-man blitz, which just tripped up Michigan State so many times. Connor Cook was unable to get out of the pocket, had to rush his throws. That was part of the cause for the interception in the first half. But Deshaun Watson, in situations like that, was able to escape the pocket and either make a play on the rollout, making a great throw off his back foot, or with his feet several times picking up first downs on third downs. The other stat I want to bring up is, I mean, you touched on most of them, but Derrick Henry, you take away that 50-yard run that he had in, I think, the
start
first
the
quarter.
Right, yep, right.
For a touchdown. And he only averaged 3.1 yards per carry. Mm-hmm. So, yes, he had a good game, but Clemson really bottled him up with the exception of that one long burst. Jake Coker, once again, this kid is going to be great for the Crimson Tide in the future. He is for real. He did it in two consecutive playoff games. He won them the game, if you ask me. And again, Nick Saban, I think it's about time, and in fact, I think it's long overdue. He's the best coach in college football history, in my opinion. I think it's time for this dialogue to start happening on a regular basis. But those championships, those five championships, there's no shame in any of them. And he did it in a more competitive era than any other college football coach. So
yeah,
that's my takeaways from the game.
And looking at Jay Cole, well, it's unfortunate because this is his last year. He won't be with this team next season. This was his final season. So as far as the but again, we all know how Alabama recruits. They will have someone to replace him. I don't know who that would be right now. The bigger question is, you know, I think what freshman Blake Barnett – He's slated right now to possibly be the quarterback of next year. But overall, again, going back to what Jay Coker was able to do, and I mentioned just his road to get here. Last night it was 16 of 25, 335 yards. But his road to get here was crazy. Again, he began at Florida State, sat out a redshirt season, backed up E.J. Manuel his second season. As a sophomore, he lost the QB battle to Jameis Winston. He was the Heisman Trophy winner that year. He decides to say, you know what, I'm not cutting the mustard here. Let me go and transfer. He transferred to his hometown of Mobile, Alabama. And when he does that, what happens? He loses his starting gig to Blake Sims. There are a lot of people, Isaac, that looking just at those timeline of events, a lot of people would have thrown the towel and been so discouraged. He didn't give up. And that's the key. And that's why it was so cool to see Jay Coker go to his family. They were in tears. You know, you saw him go to his family, and they were all crying as he cried as well, and hugged him with an embrace, because it all boiled over in that one moment. I think everything hit Jake Coker. The road to get here as now a national champion, you got to give a hats off to him. So, and again, going back to your points about Deshaun Watson, you're exactly right. The reason why Clemson was able to cause so much disruption for that Alabama defense was because of Deshaun Watson. He was so deceptive in what he was doing. He could burn you with his arm. There were sometimes he would pump fake for a throw and then roll out to the left or right for a first down and head to the sidelines, not even touched. It frustrated that Alabama defense. That is something that the Michigan State football team weren't able to do because they don't have a quarterback to do that. Connor Cook is not that type of a quarterback. And speaking of the MSU football team, after the first break here, we're going to talk about a 2016 and 17 outlook for that team. And again, elaborate on the win for Alabama. And for Spartan fans out there, I'm curious to get your thoughts. With Alabama winning last night, is it a consolation prize knowing that you lost to the best? Call in 517-355-9527. You are listening to Current Sports.
Welcome back.
Got to remind you all that, hey, it is Tuesday. We are just a day away from the latest taping of Current Sports TV. And this week, I'm pretty excited because this is the first time we've ever invited a sports photographer on the show. My guest this week is retired Detroit Free Press sports photographer Julian Gonzalez. He will join me to discuss his thoughts on his favorite photos captured over the years, being honored by the Detroit Red Wings for 25 years of service, and arriving at the decision to retire, and so much more. You can be in the TV studio audience tomorrow night. Again, that's going to be at 6 p.m. By simply signing up online at WKAR.org. Very cool stuff. And Julian actually hit me up late in the afternoon yesterday and sent me a boatload of some of his favorite pictures over the years. He's going to break down the art of sports photography, the angles, the camera placement, the difficulties of it. It's going to be a really cool interview that I think will be different, something we've never brought to the current sports TV realm. And, of course, he'll talk about that ceremony. It was very cool how the Detroit Red Wings, after 25 years, Julian Gonzalez, I mean, he's captured Stanley Cups. And you know, during the glory days of the Detroit Red Wings during Hockey Town back in the 90s. And, you know, so much so that they decided to honor him. And they had a really nice montage up on the Jumbotron at the Joe when he came out and he waved to the crowd. Very cool stuff. So, again, my guest this week on Current Sports TV is Detroit Free Press, a retired sports photographer, Julian Gonzalez. If you can't show up to the live taping tomorrow night, you can catch it on your televisions. WKAR-TV, Thursday night at 10:30 p.m. Again, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. I also want to give a shout-out to Larry from Hazlitt, who was actually – we did something different on Friday's show with it being the opening weekend for the NFL playoffs. It was wild card action. And we had you guys call in to give a prediction on the four games that took place. And whoever had the best record will win tickets to Thursday night's Michigan State men's basketball game as they take on Iowa at the Breslin Center. And Larry from Hazlitt ended up winning those tickets. He chose Washington, Kansas City, Cincinnati, and Seattle. And the big reason why he won those tickets is because he was the only one to call and give a prediction. So, Larry, my man, that's called being heads up. He was the only one to call and give a prediction. So that's how we reward those who call in and participate in the show. So, Larry from Hazlitt, I'll be giving you a call later on, and we'll tell you how you can pick up those tickets. Congratulations to him. All right, moving on. I want to bring up the MSU football team. And the reason I want to do it is because ESPN, directly after the college football season, they do this every year where they list their way too early top 25, which is absolutely insane in the membrane, right? We really don't know who's going to be the top dog of next year's college football year. But because the sporting world craves college football so much, they have to feed that need. So they come out with the way too early top 25. Well, I think it's a clever name, right? So looking at the way too early top 25 that ESPN has, they have number one, Clemson. Number two, Alabama. Number three, Baylor. Number four, the Michigan Wolverines. How about that one, right? Number five, Oklahoma. Six, Florida State. Seven, LSU. Eight, Stanford. Nine, Notre Dame. And 10, Houston. That rounds out your top 10. So if going back to the top five, though, again, I mentioned – Alabama and Clemson. Well, Clemson and Alabama. Clemson being number one, Alabama being number two. Again, three Baylor, four Michigan, five Oklahoma. Michigan State, the only team out of the college football 2015 teams that made it to the college football playoff. They are the only team not to be ranked in the top five. Oklahoma made it. Clemson and Alabama made it. Disrespectful, Isaac. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I thought that maybe the ranking was a little bit too low. But
at
the same time,
top 10, right? Top 10 at least?
Top 10, I agree with. Top 5, I don't, in fairness. Mm-hmm, I think that Michigan State's losing enough firepower, especially offensively. And even more than Connor Cook, I think that offensive line will see them really struggle to rebuild with the losses of Conklin and Allen and everybody else who's leaving. So I think Michigan State deserves to be a little bit lower in the rankings. Meanwhile, you see Clemson retaining a lot of their star power, as well as Alabama. And let's be honest, even if Alabama lost everybody, they'd still be right back in the mix next year. But to be honest, I don't have too much of a problem with the rankings. However, I do think we'll see a lot of new names step up for MSU next year because of the injuries that the Spartans sustained this past year. All of those injuries gave a lot of Spartans experience, especially on the defensive end. You look in the secondary, for example, I think you'll see guys like Viante Copeland, Jermaine Edmondson. I think you'll see huge years from them. And then I think you'll see Chris Frey really step up into the fold of the Spartan defense, as well as John Reschke. I think they'll both be big fixtures as they grew throughout the course of the season. And Ed Davis, of course, will be back for in the Spartan green next year, which will be a huge get for Mark D'Antonio. So I think that defense will actually be as formidable as it ever is, especially because Malik McDowell is an absolute beast. When I got the notification, it said the Spartans remain at number 14, anchored by Malik McDowell. And I think that about sums it up, right? However, like you said, out of the top 10, I'm not so sure about that one.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what. Again, this ranking means absolutely nothing. Nothing at the end of the day. And Michigan State, again, this is their third straight year being ranked in the top five to finish a year? I mean, come on. And you don't even put it in the top 10. I don't get that. Michigan, though, Michigan's going to be very good. Again, looking at their returning starters, they get 8 on offense, 7 on defense, 1 on special teams, which is crazy. Looking at their quarterback, Jake Rudock, he's gone. Graham Gaslow is also gone. Desmond Morgan, Joe Bolden, James Ross, Gerard Wilson. Looks as though Houston transfer, John O'Korn, maybe the top candidate for their quarterback position next year. As far as Michigan State, again, they're losing Connor Cook, Aaron Burbridge, Jack Allen, guard Donovan Clark, offensive tackle Jack Conklin, who's going to the NFL. He declared that. Defensive end Shalique Calhoun, Joe Heath, Lawrence Thomas, Darian Harris. They're losing a lot of pieces, a lot of key components to their success this season. The big question for Michigan State next year is who's going to be the quarterback? Who's going to be the guy behind center? Of course, it will be a battle between Tyler O'Connor and Damian Terry. Tyler will be a senior. Damian Terry, I believe, will be a junior next year. And if I had to pick a leading horse in that race right now, again, they haven't even started spring practice. I mean, the season just ended. But I would say, if I had to give a guess here, I would say Tyler O'Connor maybe leading that race right now. We've seen Tyler do some things this year. You know, I remember when he came in for Cook, started for Cook earlier this season. He threw a touchdown, and it looks good. He can burn you with his feet as well. Damian Terry, I don't think he has as good as an arm as Tyler O'Connor. But again, Malik McDowell coming back is huge for this team next season. Huge for this team next season. So Michigan State is going to be in the running, and frankly, I think Mark D'Antonio, he thrives on that chip on the shoulder. He'll use this as motivation for his team moving forward. But again, 14 though, 14. I kind of scoffed at that, and I said, really, 14. Just to list the top five again, looking at Clemson, who gets Deshaun Watson back for another year. Man, that kid is good, right? Got Alabama, Baylor, Michigan, and Oklahoma. All right, let's talk Lions briefly. How about this Bob Quinn? Bob Quinn is now the new general manager for the Detroit Lions. I thought this was a brilliant move to bring in a guy who knows what he's doing as far as evaluating talent and bringing that talent to a ball club. And he's done it with a dynasty organization in the New England Patriots. Looking at Bob Quinn's resume, in 2000 to 2001, he was the player personnel assistant. In 2002 to 2003, he was a pro scout. 04 to 07, regional scout. 08, national scout. 09 to 2011, assistant director of pro personnel. And 2012 to 2015, director of pro scouting. After graduating with a master's degree, his entire career was spent with the New England Patriots. I thought this was a great move because Bob Quinn knows how to find talent. He's a great evaluator of talent, and that has produced Super Bowls in the National Football League. So why not hire a guy like him? And I really like this. And then, you know, he had his press conference yesterday, and he addressed how he wants to change the culture here in Detroit, a culture that has gone through the Matt Millen era from 2000 to 2008. Again, over 7 seasons under Millen's leadership as team president, the Lions on the NFL's worst winning percentage at 31-81. It's a 27% win percentage, folks. Crazy stuff. They never finished higher than third place in the NFC North. Did not play in any postseason games. Miller received a 5-year contract extension in the start of 2005. And, of course, in 2007, the Lions began the year 6-2, promising record. And then they ended up finishing the year 7-9. Crazy stuff, right? And then we all know about the 0-16 year in 2008. Then Martin Mayhew, not much better there. They did draft Matthew Stafford as number one overall pick in 2009. 6-year contract, $41.7 million. I am not a Matthew Stafford hater, unlike I think the majority of Lions fans are. I really like Matthew Stafford. But again, the Lions just haven't won. You know, Matt Millen to Martin Mayhew, but Bob Quinn knows how to win. I really like this, and I think he had some candid things to say during his press conference yesterday, Isaac.
Yeah, I thought that this was a brilliant hire for the Lions because, like you said, Bob Quinn wins. It's that easy. He was great with the Patriots. You talk about scouting, and Dave Perkett actually put up a great article in the Detroit Free Press talking about how Quinn knows to handle aging veterans. And this is going to be something that's so tangible for Lions, especially going forward. But looking ahead to this next season, you just have to decide what to do with players like Steven Tulloch, Joique Bell, Brandon Pettigrew, maybe even Calvin Johnson. Because these guys, they might still be good players and valuable assets, but they're costing you money that you could be spending elsewhere. When the Patriots had to deal with Darrell Revis aging a little bit, but coming off a Super Bowl winning year, the Patriots let him go. Same with Wes Welker. The Patriots know how to handle this. They can replace talent, go into the free agent market, and find what they need to do. That's one thing Bob Quinn does. And then going forward with Matthew Stafford is the other thing I'm interested to see. Bob Quinn's quotes on Stafford, they didn't appear to be flattering necessarily. He said, I think he's a starting level quarterback in the NFL. I'm not sure how much of a praise that is actually, but at the same time, Bob Quinn hinted that he would be their option going forward, and we'll see what the Lions can do if they can surround him with the proper weapons besides just Calvin Johnson, who...
Well, not even that. They need an offensive line.
Well, yeah.
I mean, this has been my constant argument when it comes to Matthew Stafford and his success in the NFL. Matthew Stafford needs time to work with. Simple as that. I mean, again, the past two seasons, he's been among the most hit quarterbacks in the league. If you don't give a guy the time to make decisions with the football, then how do you expect them to be successful? It's simple as that. And as far as Bob Quinn and his first order of business, again, you brought up Calvin Johnson. I think he needs to be in Calvin's ear right now to see what to urge him and convince him to come back, because he is such a weapon in the league. He is the best wide receiver in the game, and he is a game changer. I mean, he opens everything up offensively for the Lions because he garners so much attention every time that ball is hiked. Simple as that. So first order of business, of course, trying to get Calvin to come back, and even before that, find out what you're going to do with Jim Caldwell. Those are the first two orders of business, and it's going to be very interesting. He only had a 30-second interaction, and he mentioned during his press conference yesterday how he needs to sit down with Jim Caldwell and figure out where his mindset is, what type of a guy he is, so on and so forth. Just really get to know him to see if he wants to maybe add years on that contract or another year at that.
Like you said, shaping up that offensive line too, that's something he'll look to do more in the draft and free agency, if you ask me. Of course, like you said, Calvin Johnson and Jim Caldwell are the one and two priorities. But that offensive line is maybe what the Patriots have done best throughout their career. With Tom Brady, you can win with just about anybody in the receiving staff. I remember when the Patriots went to the Super Bowl with Andre Caldwell as their primary target at receiver. He went on to be the number three for the Bengals. So that just shows you Tom Brady makes receivers what quarterbacks can't do without, though, like you said, is a good offensive line, a consistent one. And the Patriots have managed to find their knack in that. They've maintained consistency in the same starting five for a while. And you know what? It showed, and that's why they're so successful. So I'm sure the Lions are looking to emulate that.
Yeah, definitely. All right, 5 minutes left in the show here. I just got some breaking news. Jeff Long's 2-year stint as the college football selection committee chair is over. Director Bill Hancock is quoted in saying, quote, it's time to move on. So going to be very interesting to see who replaces him. Also in the MMA news here, UFC's Nick Diaz, his 5-year suspension has been reduced to 18 months. He can return August 1st. Of course, he tested positive for marijuana at UFC 183. And that news came about 30 minutes ago. So there's some breaking news there. 4 minutes left in the show. Briefly want to mention in an article written by ESPN's Chad Ford concerning two Spartans on the MSU men's basketball team, Deontay Davis and Denzel Valentine. Right now, Chad Ford has Deontay Davis at number 17 on his prospects for the 2016 NBA draft. MSU senior guard Denzel Valentine is at number 25 on Ford's list. Ford projects both of them as mid-first-round picks, though the 6'10 Davis has yet to indicate that he would consider a jump to the NBA after his freshman season. Right now, Davis is averaging 8.3 points, 5.2 rebounds, and 17 minutes of work. He leads MSU with 36 blocks. How crazy is that, right? Crazy stuff. And we all know that Denzel Valentine right now is arguably the leading candidate to win the National Player of the Year. It's so early in the college basketball season, but yeah, Denzel Valentine is playing out of his mind. I find this to be very interesting, specifically not from Denzel Valentine's aspect, because Denzel Valentine is just a heck of a player. He has great court vision. He can shoot the basketball very, very well. He plays solid defense. Denzel Valentine's transition to the NBA, though, I don't think it's going to be an immediate success type of a thing. I think maybe give him a year to adjust to the speed of the league, to adjust to the athleticism of the league. I think that Denzel Valentine needs to bulk up a little bit. But at the same time, Denzel Valentine's just natural basketball instincts are going to lead to success in the NBA. Maybe not right off at the bat, but he will be a factor in the NBA in his second season, I think. As far as Deontay Davis, I was surprised that Deontay was so high on Chad Ford's list, Isaac, from the simple standpoint of Deontay Davis's size. Deontay Davis right now, I think, needs to put on a little bit more weight. I think he's one-dimensional when it comes to his post-game. He loves that maybe like one dribble turnaround baby hook, which he has perfected. I mean, it's very, very hard to stop, and he's so good at it. But I do think Deontay Davis does need to improve in a few more aspects as far as adding more arsenal to his game and maybe even expanding his game from inside the paint. I'm very surprised that he's this high, and maybe if he is this high, he'll start to get NBA scouts thinking about maybe drafting him. And I don't know if he'll leave after his first season, though. I don't know.
Well, what they do see is potential. You see a guy who's so tall, so lanky, such an interior defender, just naturally. I mean, it just all comes down to the teaching, and the guy knows when to jump. He knows how to go straight up, which is so valuable in the NBA. So when NBA scouts look at him, I think they see potential more so than somebody who can immediately make an impact. So he reminds me almost of a poor man's Anthony Davis.
Yeah, definitely. And I know our good friends from the Atlantic State Journal, including Graham Couch and Chris Alari, they're going to write a few articles because Tom Izzo actually commented on Denzel Valentine and Deontay Davis' draft stock. So we'll be back at it tomorrow, folks. Thanks so much for all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care and be easy, people.